Our next speakers are Clyde Farrell and Marilyn Miller. There's Marilyn. These two people are elder law stars. They have been workhorses in the area of elder law for decades. They have a lot of accolades. You can read about them. I'm going to give them more time to speak. And they're going to talk on Medicaid update and other hot topics. Would you please welcome Clyde Farrell and Marilyn Miller.
For all the 31 years I've been practicing elder law, mainly Medicaid law, a major issue has been what does it take to prove intent to return a home so that that home will be excluded from resources? For an unmarried person, the maximum of $2,000 of assets that they can have, that Medicaid counts. We now have a Texas Supreme Court case that gives us a partial answer to that, and that partial answer is any home purchased after nursing home admission is a resource. That is, it counts against that $2,000 limit. So that much is clear, but there may still be a fact issue if the home is bought shortly before admission. Then the reasoning and the holding in this case do not apply, and there's still some serious fact issues that could be raised, and in many cases that purchase is made before the person goes into the nursing home. And also, I think it is quite clear that this case does not involve a replacement home. If someone owns a home and goes into a nursing home and then sells that home and within 3 calendar months thereafter uses the proceeds to buy another home, then that replacement home would be excluded if the home that was sold would have been excluded. This doesn't touch on that, and that has been consistently held by, or that's been a consistent policy of the agent for a long time. Now, a bit of good news from this case, which is mostly bad news, is that Texas, I'll quote from the Supreme Court's decision, the majority opinion. There was a dissent. The Chief Justice dissented, but the majority opinion said something that those of us who've been in litigation and even working with the agency have often said, and I quote, "Texas methodology for determining income and resource eligibility must be no more restrictive than the methodology under the Federal Supplemental Security Income Program." No more restrictive. So it must not restrict eligibility of an applicant any more than the methodology of the SSI program. This is where we come in as elder law attorneys. This is one of our major tasks and opportunities in Medicaid law, is looking into the SSI law, the federal statute, the federal rules, and the policy under the palms, and where the question that we have isn't answered in the Texas policy or the Texas rules, then we can look to that federal policy or the federal law, and under this rule, it should always apply. Even if there is Texas policy or law, if it's different and more restrictive, if it doesn't benefit our client and the federal SSI rule or law does, or policy, then the federal SSI methodology should apply. I think the agency has been quite receptive to this. When I started doing this, the handbook, Medicaid eligibility handbook, was just full of situations where it was not in compliance. Now that's not the case. And largely because we've been hammering at it. But I have to give credit to our colleagues in the agency, the attorneys that work in the agency, who've done a lot of good work